Luke chapter number 8, and appreciate all the music and specials and the songs. That song, by the way, that Miss Kara played in the offertory, somebody's got to sing that. That's Does Jesus Care, and a wonderful song. The answer comes back, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with our grief. Amen. And so we know the Lord Jesus cares. Luke chapter number 8 this morning. And we'll start reading in verse number 26 of book of Luke chapter 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Bible says here in verse number 26 of Luke chapter 8. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land there, met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil in the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, and there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus, found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devil was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now, Lord, we ask you this morning to help us. God, we come to you. We're so thankful and grateful for what you've already done in our hearts and, Lord, in the service. Now we pray, Lord, that you would help us through the preaching of thy word. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Oh, God, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, do what I cannot do this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that thou would roam up and down these aisles, in and out of the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and that with an honesty and a sincerity this morning, we would be real with you. I pray, God, that everything I say, that you'd help me to say everything I need to say and nothing that does not need to be said. Lord, we pray above all things, the name of Jesus will be lifted up in here. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. A young man by the name of John, he received a parrot one day as a gift. Kind of a strange gift, but they knew that he liked birds, had had parrots in the past. And so this particular parrot, it had a very bad attitude and even worse, vocabulary. Every word out of the bird's mouth was rude. It was very obnoxious. It was laced with profanity. John tried to change the bird's attitude by speaking softly and speaking nicely always when he would address the bird. Constantly trying to use polite words, he'd play soft music and anything he could think of he would use to try and clean up this bird's act and clean up this bird's vocabulary. Bird only seemed to get worse, and finally John was fed up with it, and so one day he yelled at the parrot, and the parrot yelled back, and John took and shook the parrot, and the parrot began to get even more angry and even more rude, and so John, in his desperation, he throws up his hands, he grabs that bird, opens up the freezer, throws that bird inside the freezer, and slammed the door. Well, several minutes went by, and just for a few minutes, the parrot squawked and it kicked and it screamed and hollered and went on. Then suddenly there was just total quiet for over a minute. John, afraid that maybe he had really hurt the bird, and he quickly opens the door of the freezer, to which the parrot just very calmly stepped out onto John's arm. And he said, "Sir, I believe I may have offended you with my rude language and my actions. I'm sincerely remorseful for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and inappropriate behavior." Oh man, John was stunned at the change in this bird's attitude as he was about to ask the parrot, just fixing to ask him, "Hey, what happened to you? What caused this change?" The bird looked at him and he said, "By the way, sir, may I ask you, what did the turkey do?" Boy, he was a changed bird when he saw that turkey, amen? Can I say this to you this morning? I stand here before you this morning a changed man. But I'm not changed this morning because somebody stuck me in a freezer. I'm not changed this morning because I've been threatened by man or threatened by somebody to change my ways. But I'm changed this morning because one day Jesus Christ stepped into my life and I allowed Him to have control, and He changed me and He made me what I am today. As Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I want to preach this morning for the next few moments on this thought: what a change. What a change. Boy, look at this passage of Scripture. We certainly see a change. In our text this morning is a man that's well known by the people of Gadara. He's caused all kinds of problems. He's wreaked all kinds of havoc in the lives of these people. He's caused trouble. The Bible tells us this man was possessed by demons. In other words, he was controlled by the devil. In fact, I want you to notice what the Bible says, exactly how it points this out in verse number 29. It says, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it," what, the unclean spirit, "had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands," watch this, "and was driven by the devil into the wilderness." Oh yes, this was a man that is controlled by the devil. Might I say to you this morning, there's a whole lot of people walking around in our world today that's being controlled by the devil. They don't know they're being controlled. Many of them don't recognize and realize what he's doing in their life. They think they're having it their way. They think they're doing what they want to do. They think they're having the fun they want to have, but they're being controlled by the devil. The Bible says it caught him. There's a lot of people, Christian, that's being caught by the devil, and I believe some of them's even children of God. Oh yes, controlled, and even brought him out into the wilderness. Jesus said, "He who's not for me is against me." Listen, he looked at some Pharisees one day and he said, "Look, I want to tell you something. You're of your father the devil." And there's a lot of people being controlled by the devil, even this morning as we speak. Many of them don't even know it. This man was well known by his countrymen. He was well known by the people there of the city. His character was well known. The things he had done and was doing was well known. The trouble he caused was well known. Boy, they knew about this guy. His reputation had preceded him. But the Bible says, hallelujah, that this man met Jesus. Jesus cast out those demons that they went into some swine there and ran down the hill. Somebody said they committed suicide. Verse number 34 tells us the workers of the hog pen went and told all that had happened. Verse number 35, they all come back to see what was done. They didn't expect to see what they saw. Remember, everybody knew this man. He had a reputation. They knew what to expect when they seen him. Oh, just like everybody's familiar with a town drunk, just like everybody's familiar with the loose lady in town, just like everyone is familiar with the dope dealer in the neighborhood, this man was well known. They knew him as one who abodes in the tomb. They knew him as one who had been chained many times. They knew him as one who ran around naked. Somebody preached on this and they said this was a rude dude in a nude mood. He runs around naked. They knew him as one crying and cutting himself. Oh, listen, he had a reputation. But when they get back, they couldn't believe what they saw. Because when they get back, watch what the Bible says. They saw there a man that they had known for so long, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The Bible says they were afraid. Now I want to say this real quickly and we'll move on. Why is it that the world is more afraid of a child of God than they are with a possessed man? Watch this. Hey, friend, they can go to the rock and roll concerts where people dress up like animals and looking like all kind of crazies. They can listen to the loud, they can have all the worst of the worst there in light of sinful people, and it doesn't bother them a bit. But buddy, you let somebody come in toting a King James Bible, somebody better help me this morning. Hey, you let somebody come in with toting a King James Bible, boy, wearing a suit looking like somebody, got a haircut, and that bothers them. The Bible says when this, it didn't bother them before. Now they're saying, get him out of here. Oh, yes. I can preach two messages this morning. Bothered them. They didn't know what they were looking at. Boy, they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what had done happen to this man. Oh, they had no idea what had taken place. But they knew this one thing, that there was a great change in the man that they used to know as Maniac. There had been a great change in his life and in the man they were looking at right here. In fact, they didn't even know. Listen, he didn't look like the same person. He didn't act like the same person. He didn't sound like the same person. Oh, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. What a change we see in this man's life. Well, there are several things they want to look at this morning. I want to say first, if you're here this morning and you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're here this morning, you've never been born again. If you're here this morning and all you've ever had is a physical birth, I want to say to you this morning, if you'll let me introduce you to Him, He will change your life for good and forever. Oh yes, friend, if you've never met the Lord Jesus, you'll never be the same if you'll meet Him this morning. Several things I want to look at. There's several changes I want you to notice that we see in this man. Number one, the first change I want you to notice, he is resting. He is resting. Look with me at verse number 35 at chapter number 8. The Bible says here, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus. They found the man. How'd they found him? If the devil were departed, sitting, watch this, sitting, the Bible says. Sitting. Now, you know how it is. You come home, you're tired, you've worked all day, whatever's happened during the day, and you come home. And you come home and you sit down there in your recliner, or you sit on your couch or whatever that chair is. And about that time, your kid, or most of you, your grandkids, come to you and they say, Papa, ma'am, I want you to come and do this or whatever. You say, what do you say? I'm resting. Oh, yes, sitting down implies that he's at rest. It implies there's no longer a struggle. They've seen this man for a long time. They knew this man for a long time. They had seen him in all kinds of ways. I want you to go with me quickly to Mark chapter number 5. Back up to Mark chapter number 5. They had seen this man. They had seen his struggle. They had seen what it went through. Look what the Bible says. Mark chapter 5, start in verse number 2. And when he was come out of the ship, it's Mark's account of this same story, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, watch this, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. The Bible says he had his dwelling. Listen, but here they had never seen him sitting. They'd never seen him at rest. Can I say to you this morning, one of the greatest things about being saved is that deep, settled peace that you have deep down inside your soul. I'm talking about there's rest. Oh, listen, the world may be The world may be all torn up. You may be being tossed to and fro, but I'm simply saying there can be a deep settled peace inside your soul that, praise God, you can know that if the sun don't rise on this side, I'll be with the sun on the other side. There's a peace that we have in the Lord. That's why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Oh yes, he's at rest. He's resting, no longer the toil, no longer the strife. Every single person in this building, whether you're saved or whether you're not, are not saved, I'll promise you, you know a little bit of something about that struggle, that wrestling match that goes on inside of your heart when Jesus begins to tug at you. If you've never trusted him, you've still got that wrestling match going on. Oh, you still don't have the rest. You still don't have the relief. You still don't have that calmness in your spirit. The Bible says this man ran to and fro. He just never had any rest about him. He was in the tombs all the time, cutting himself and going, just a struggle in his life. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh yes, he's resting. What a change we see. Can I say to you this morning, only Jesus can bring rest. When you're under that bondage of sin, there's no rest. He was all the time roaming about in the tombs and in the mountains. They tried to bind him with chains, but they couldn't even bind him with chains. They tried to lock him up. Oh, listen, but he could not stay still. No matter what, there was no rest for this man. I want you to look with me another place. Hold your place in Luke and go with me to Isaiah chapter 57 real quick. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 20. Isaiah 57, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says this, but the wicked are like the troubled sea. Oh, just tore up all the time when it cannot rest. Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Can I say to you this morning, friend, you want that turmoil inside your soul to stop? You want that churning in your heart to stop. You want that lump to come out of your throat. You want to be able to rest and sleep and have some satisfaction in your life. You got to meet Jesus. You got to let him change you and make you what you're supposed to be. Oh, he can take that. Listen, this man, the greatest change, first of all, is we see him at rest. I want you to notice another thing. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read to you in Revelation chapter number 14. Very familiar verse, Revelation chapter number 14. And in verse number 11, the Bible says this, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whoever receiveth the mark of his name. You say, preacher, I'm not that wicked. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. Can I say to you this morning, very candidly, the only thing you have to do to wake up in a devil's hell is to refuse to accept Christ as your Savior. The Bible says there's no rest. Oh, this man had no rest until the day he met Jesus. You're here this morning, you've never met him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't have peace. You don't have rest. You don't have something deep down inside of your soul. You can't sit down. You can't lay down. Oh, listen, everything's all right. That's why so many of this world, they got to keep the party going. They got to keep the stuff going. And they got to do it bigger. There's something eating away at the inside of them. Oh, there's something they can do nothing about until Jesus enters their heart and gives them that rest. Let me introduce you to Jesus this morning. He's the Prince of Peace. We see he had rest. I want you to notice the second thing about this man. He had respect. Notice with me in verse number 35 again of Luke chapter 8. The Bible says, and they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus, found the man whom devils were departed, watch this, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now you back up to verse number 28. He wanted nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice. What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High, he wanted nothing to do with him. before he was delivered from the demons, before he was delivered from Satan's snare, before he was delivered from sin, before he was delivered from hell. But after Jesus changed his life, here he is seated paying reverence to the Savior. Can I say to you this morning, when you get saved, it'll change your outlooks on a lot of things, and most of those things will be your outlook on the things of God. Can I just say to you this morning, I don't understand how somebody could be saved and be disrespectful with the things of God. I don't see how somebody can be saved and be disrespectful to the house of God. Now, you disrespect it a lot of ways, but one of those ways is not showing up at it. I don't see how somebody can be saved and be disrespectful to the Word of God. Listen, I've told you before, don't lay something on top of my Bible. I know it's a book, but it's God's Word. Be disrespectful to the Word of God. Can I say this? Be disrespectful to the people of God. Oh, yes. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another. The Bible says, he that seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Oh, yes. He had respect for the things of God. Not only for the Lord, he's here seated at the feet of Jesus. That Bible that you used to hate is no longer hated, now it's heated. Those people that you used to want nothing to do with, now you want everything to do with. He makes a change. He makes a change in our lives. We begin to respect the things of God, the house of God we used to hate going to, now we hate to miss. That change only comes when you meet the Lord Jesus. I'm trying to move. Third thing I want you to notice, not only was he resting, not only was he respectful, he was robed. Notice what your Bible says. Verse number 35, the Bible says, clothed, seated at the feet of Jesus, clothed. Now back in 27, the Bible's clear. It tells us he wore no clothes. Can I tell you what this is a picture of? It's a picture of nakedness. It's a picture of shamefulness. It's a picture of sin. Now watch this. The Bible says when this man, once he woke up, the Bible says that he had respect. The Bible says here that he was resting. And the Bible said he put on clothes. Now listen, it's almost summertime. Ain't quite here yet. And I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. But the Bible says here that this man who had gotten right, who had found the Lord Jesus, in fact, Jesus had found him and had been saved by the grace of God, one of the great changes in his life is he had on some clothes. Amen? We all wear clothes. Not show everything, you know. If it's not for sale, don't advertise. It's a picture of sin. The Bible teaches nakedness is shameful here and sin. Think about when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. It was their nakedness that revealed their sin. You ever thought about that? God came looking for Adam and Adam said, I heard your voice, Lord, but I was afraid because I was naked. Oh, yes. God said, how do you know you were naked? Have you taken of the tree I told you not to take of? You see, nakedness revealed their sin and that they were sinners. When God looked at them, he saw their sin. When they looked at themselves, they saw their sin. But aren't you glad, thank God, that they began, when they took and tried to sew those fig leaves together and done everything they could to try to cover that sin, and when they'd done all they could do and nothing else, and it still didn't work, they went and hid themselves from the face of God. But aren't you glad that he came walking by and he said, listen, and he took a beast and he slew that beast. And he made a covering for Adam, and he made a covering for Eve, and he clothed them, and their nakedness was no longer revealed. Can I say to you this morning, I thank God. Listen, he gives us that robe of righteousness of Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning that when God looks at me, he don't see my filthiness, he don't see my sinfulness, he don't see the wicked person I really am, but he sees the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been clothed in his righteousness. Oh, yes. Their nakedness was a clear indication. Thank God this man who used to run around naked, used to cut himself and cry, used to be chained down because of his sin condition, now he's sitting, he's at rest, now he's reverencing, and now he's robed. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do was to take off the old robe and put on the new. That old robe was ruined, tattered, and torn. That new robe was spotless, had never been worn. The best thing in my life I ever did do was take off the old robe and put on the new. The Bible puts it this way, blotting out the handwriting and ordinances that were against us, that was contrary to us, taking them out of the way, nailing them to an old rugged cross. Amen? Robe of righteousness. There's been a change. Philippians 3:9 says this, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm glad this morning I don't have to stand before him in my own righteousness. Why don't you make a trade this morning, his robe for yours? You ever thought about that great trade we made at salvation? Boy, you traded sin for salvation. You traded heaven for hell. You traded a cross for a crown. What a deal. What a deal. I want you to notice the fourth thing. We see his resting. We see his respectful. We see his robe. He was rational. The Bible says in verse number 35, in his right mind. You know the devil wants you to think that you're crazy and you're unintelligent or stupid, narrow-minded, simple-minded people to follow Christ. But now watch this. All you have to do is look around our world today, not very far, to see how irrational, how messed up, how unsensible people are. We don't even know what bathroom to use. Hello? I'm talking about, listen, our brains have fallen out. I mean, we don't even know what bathroom to use. We can't tell for a boy or a girl, a man or a woman. We don't know who we're supposed to like and those kinds of things. Oh, listen, you don't know what those people need? They need Jesus. He was rational. He wants us to think, well, you're just simple-minded. But when this man was living for Satan, he acted insane. I heard a quote the other day. It was a very good quote. Man said this. He said, it was Dave Ramsey, by the way, if you've ever heard him, but he teaches on finance. And he said this. Of course, he just gives the old school way of finance. Just don't borrow more than you make and that kind of thing. But he said this. He said, common sense has become so rare that it's marketable to the point that I have 70 million customers. Common sense, now he's talking about finance, but in every way, common sense has become so rare, just simple common sense. All he's teaching is common sense. Don't spend more than you make. But he said it's become so rare that it's marketable to the point he has 70 million customers. This man, after he met Jesus, he was rational. He was in his right mind. Can I tell you why people ain't in a right mind? Because they ain't ever met Jesus. They need to meet Jesus. You think about some of the dumb things you did. Hello, hey. Some of the dumb things you did before you met Jesus, before Jesus became real to you. Oh, but listen, one of the great changes in this man's life is he was rational. He was in his right mind. Can I say to you this morning, I know I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm certainly not everything I want to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. One day Jesus Christ changed my life. And he's still changing me every day. I love the little children's song, He's Changing Me. My blessed Savior, I'm not the same person that I used to be. It's been slow going, but now I'm knowing that my Lord is changing me. He still changes. But he made a great change in your life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want you to notice another thing, another change. Not only resting, not only respect, not only robe, not only rational, but it's a relationship. Look with me at verse number 38. The Bible says, now the man out of whom the devils were departed, watched his words, besought him. He's looking for Jesus now, that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, he besought him that he might be with him. I don't understand somebody that's saved and don't want a relationship. Listen, this man didn't know the A, B's, and C's of theology. He didn't know everything there is to know. In fact, he had just begun to start learning, and he had a whole lot to learn. He didn't know about tithing. He didn't know about what he ought to wear. He didn't know, but he had some clothes on. Listen, there's some things. Thank God for the teacher, the Holy Spirit, that comes inside of us at salvation that teaches us some stuff. But more than that, friend, I want to say this. There'll be a desire for the Lord when you get saved. Said he desired to be with the Lord Jesus. Can I say to you, this man, in just a few moments' time, had more of God and more godliness than many Christians that's, quote, been saved for 25 years? He had a desire. The Bible says he besought him. He came looking for Jesus. Why? He wanted to spend time for him. Wanted to spend time with him. Jesus tells him, go home. Verse 39, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. In other words, he tells him the best place to begin to live a new life, to be a witness, is at home. Is at home. Go with me quickly to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Look at me at verse number 20. And he departed, same story, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. He immediately became a soul winner. Not only a relationship, but a responsibility. A responsibility. Oh, we could go on and on through this. Listen, there was a change, what I'm telling you this morning, Christian. There was some difference. Listen, this man was at rest. He didn't worry, anxiously wringing his hands. I know things come into our life. Listen, I worry just like you do about things, and that's a sin. I understand that. But I'm saying there ought to be about at least about our salvation. And when we put everything into perspective and understand what's the worst thing that could happen to me, I die and wake up in the face of Jesus Christ. And because I know that, there ought to be a rest. The respect. Amazes me. I understand we get aggravated, I understand, but just it can be so disrespectful to other Christians and gossip and talk and all that kind of mess, and I don't know anything that's going on. I'm just saying in general this morning, the things of God, we ought to be respectful. He had some clothes on. He was rational, he was in his right mind. I meet Christians sometimes. And they tell you about something they're going to go do because they just got to do it more extreme, more greater, more higher. They've got to, you know, and it's something so carnal, so worldly. You can't find a Bible verse that says, do not go and do this very thing. Listen, if you do MMA, that's up to you. I know people that do MMA. They're Christians. I believe they're probably saved. But I just don't see how you can run with that crowd. Unless you do it if you want to do it. That's when you and the Lord. My Bible still, because listen, that crowd, especially when you start out of the underground part of it, I've had them invite me to them, I ain't going. The underground part of it is a bunch of naked people, a bunch of drugs and drug addicts and drunkies. The Bible still says abstain from all appearances of evil. That's what it still says. It's still in there. We want to walk that line, get as close as we can to sin. I'm simply saying there's a difference and a change made in somebody's life when they get saved. There ought to be. Think about what Paul had to go and rebuke the carnal Corinthians. He says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified. He's trying to remind them who they are in Christ and to take that position in Christ. You see, it's when we get saved, we get a new nature, we become a child of God and in the kingdom of God, and we are on our way to heaven, no doubt about it. But some people, what never happens is while they get saved, they never take their position in Christ. The Bible says we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh yeah, the Bible tells, listen, that grace that hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously in this present world. Grace doesn't give us permission to sin. It gives us power to overcome sin. The grace that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to abstain from these things, right? So, to new life in Christ. This man had a change. There was a change made in his life. As we stand for prayer and the pianist comes, I wonder who's here this morning and you know you're lost. And you truly, this morning, you're tired of playing games. You're tired of walking with the world. Can I say to you this morning, boy, listen, hey, there's a whole world of people out here that they don't have the rest, and they go from girl to girl and guy to guy and bottle to bottle and pill to pill and drug to drug, and they're looking for something to give them rest and satisfaction. If you'll come to Jesus this morning, He can change your life. He'll give you a whole new outlook, but He'll give you a whole new life. Listen, He'll change your circumstance. He'll change your situation. He'll change your reputation. Jesus can make a change this morning in your life. You got to come to Him. Somebody's here, you know your life's not what it ought to be. Your life's a mess. You know you've never been born again. The devil all the time tempting you, and the Holy Spirit all the time convicting you. You can have that rest this morning. What about it, Christian? Are you resting in the Lord? Are you respectful of the things of God? Are you robed and rational? While we sing, why don't you come this morning? Who is it this morning that you know needs Jesus? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't believe there's anybody in this building this morning. I don't believe there's one person that doesn't know somebody that needs Jesus Christ. Somebody that's not saved. Can I tell you this? First thing you need to do is pray for them. Second thing you need to do is witness to them and invite them to church. We have Full House Sunday next week. There ought to be somebody people's praying for while we sing. Why don't you come? Mm-hmm.